Sisters in Christ Jesus, I greet you from the wonderful island nation of Sri Lanka, the slightly confused island nation of Sri Lanka, but wonderful nonetheless, because yes, indeed, it is part of God's creation, part of this seemingly at times crazy world we live in, but there is a reason for all of this. Although, you know what, I think it's not in the way that, you know, we would like it, or we would expect it to be. You know, sometimes when people look for reasons for why God does certain things, or reasons why God allows certain things, it's, and part of it is that they would seek to put themselves above God, because they want a reason, so that then after they have that reason, they can say, oh, is that reason good enough or not? You know, so now they sit in the judgment seat and say, oh, okay, so the reason is okay now, or the reason's not okay. You know, how could the loving God do whatever? And, you know, that's part of the growth process, because it's a very childish thing. You know, when you have those young kids, and they, when they start going, why, you know, you shouldn't do that, why, you really should do, why, you know, like, you can't, sometimes when you have kids in those ranges, yeah, you just, you know, they have to trust that their father has their best interests at heart, knows what's going on, and that truly all things do work together for the good of the called according to his purpose. Yeah, you got to trust you in that. You got to trust the Father in that. See, the byproduct of not trusting him is you worry. You have unnecessary concern and unnecessary stress and unnecessary anxieties, and you second guess everything, and you are not content with the lot that you have in life for this stage and this time. And here's the note too: the lot that you have is not the lot that you will necessarily end up with. The situation that you have and that you're in, once you've walked with God for a bit, you realize something, that your situations can change in a moment for the good, or for the, in seemingly the eyes of the world, for the bad. Like Job in the eyes of the world is an example of somebody that is seen for, hey, his situation went from bad to worse, right? How could a loving God let your situation go from bad to worse? Where's God's protection? Where's God's, you know, here's a guy that loves God, serving God, walking with him, and all of a sudden, in a moment, he's got, before the messengers can finish breathing, like one message comes right after the other, boom, boom, boom. It's like three really bad emails, but much worse. But, you know, right after the other, it's just like, okay, well, you lost everything here, you lost everything here, you lost everything here, and you lost your kids. And what does he do? You know, does he turn his back on God? No. He does struggle with his humanity, with the nature of the situation he's in. Yes, he does. You know, as we do when we come into these trials, that we face, because they stretch us. You know, God allows us to go into these trials on purpose. They're supposed to stretch us. They're supposed to not be comfortable. Hello. Yes. They are supposed to not be comfortable. You think the fire is comfortable for silver? No. Of course not. But it is the fire that burns out all the junk that's in there. So, you know, it's without that furnace of affliction, there's no purification. Without that difficulty, without that struggle, without that trial, there is no change in who we are. We've used the analogy of exercise before. Unless you stress those muscles, unless you tear them with resistance, they won't ever get stronger. You know, we have that whole Olympics coming up in the not too distant future. And, you know, all of those guys that are training for that have put themselves through incredible levels of pressure, physical pressure, endurance, stamina, strength building, discipline for try to make it, to even be counted worthy to go to the games. And then for those that, you know, are realistic about their level, some of them, to say, okay, to try to win it. You know, all for a brief moment, where their skills will be highlighted on a world stage, maybe picked up for 30 seconds while they play the national anthem with that athlete, you know, holding that gold medal with their hands raised up for the world to see, and that's it. Because nowadays, there's so many world championships. Nowadays, there's so many different events. Every time you turn around, there's a sporting World Cup or something. I mean, it used to be, I mean, the Olympics is one of the big ones, yes, but all these people working so hard to represent their nation and to have a good showing, right? Well, how does that work in relationship to people of faith, people of the kingdom? Do they discipline themselves on that level? Do they strive towards the high calling for which they have been called in Christ Jesus? Will they cut out? I mean, like, you take a world-class athlete, you know, they make incredible sacrifices in their bodies and their minds, in the things that they will do, the things that they won't do. All of that is something that they put together for a reason, for a purpose. Because there's something that they're going for. There's something that they're going for. And that something that they're going for is worth more to them than the things that they would give up, the things that they would let go. So, yes. But we, I mean, I've seen the smallest thing set people back, the smallest thing be a point for complaints and moaning and groaning. You know, what would constitute, in athletic terms, the first day of workouts, the very first day of workouts, you're like, oh no, this is work. Oh no, I'm in pain. Yeah, you know, the thing is, you got to trust your trainer, you got to trust your coach, you got to trust your father, and move forward. So yes. Yes, he knows what he's doing with us. And he is training us. He is building us. He is raising us up to be what he intended us to be. Do we do it perfectly along the way? No. Do we run a perfect race? We don't run a perfect race. We'd like to. Yes, we would like to. We would like to run a perfect race. It would be nice. But at the same time, you know, I'm not under an illusion of you know, of the mess that we make as we walk through this life. Because emotions, egos, struggles, trials, difficulties, things wear thin sometimes. Yes, they do. Things do wear thin sometimes. You know, I tell you, this last week, even for me, you know, like, you try to keep a good attitude. God does give you the strength. But there's just a point sometimes with some of the things that we face and go through on a regular basis. Especially when, you know, you may have your guard up when you're in certain situations, but then you let it down when you're in others. And especially when you just, you know, you let your guard down, you relax a little bit, and you still have to deal with certain things. Yeah, it gets tough. You know, it gets tough. It gets tough to keep a good attitude. It gets tough to not let it show. But, you know, even in those situations too, just bring it back before the Father. Because He's continually building us, continually stretching us, continually making us something that He can work with. And, you know, without that process, we're never ready. We will never be ready. See, there is a day of our showing. There is a day where God takes us and lifts us up and says, "This is what I've made." Because He is the potter. We are the clay. And the pottery doesn't stay on the wheel forever. The pottery doesn't get turned around forever and ever and ever. No. It doesn't stay in the fire forever. No. You know, there is a time where it gets shown for what it is. And you and I will have a day of our showing. That's in God's hands. There will be a point where God will make it known that this indeed is mine. This is what all of the struggle and the trial was about. And once you come through that process and you see what He's done and you are part of that, there will be a gratitude in your heart for it. There will. You will appreciate what He's done for you. But you've got to go through all the way. See, this is why you can't do it halfway. You can't have a halfway process. See, a lot of people, they won't push through. You know, since we're using this exercise analogy, you know, there's a lot of people that won't, you know, maybe they try to do exercise, but they won't push themselves past that point where they really would get the results that they're looking for. But again, it's a commitment thing. It's a mind thing. It's a heart thing. You know, what is it that you want? What is it that you desire the most? Do you desire His will? Do you desire His kingdom to come, His will to be done? Do you desire your will? Do you desire success in the world? You know, it's funny sometimes how people dress it up. In the respect that, you know, it really, what they want is they really want their own will. They really want their own desire, but they stamp God's label on it. and they say, oh, yeah, yeah, this is God, this is God. But it's really them. It's really their own heart, their own desire, their own will, selfish will and intention. You know, if you have a desire, it's okay. But you got to submit that to the Father. And you got to pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Because an unsurrendered desire will kill you. Why? Because what happens is you hold on to that thing stronger than you hold on to the will of God. And then it comes up and bites you later. Because then when you're given the choice between that desire being fulfilled or the will of God being fulfilled, you will choose that desire, and you may even stamp God's label on it, but you've really chosen contrary to Him. Now that desire can manifest itself in many, many ways. Self-preservation is one. A lot of people want to save their lives in this world. You can't have anything in this world that you hold on to more dearly than Him. There's a few others. You know, what is it that you desire in this life? What is it that you want? What is it that you would not give up if Christ asked you or showed you? See, it is a struggle. Because it brings you to an end of yourself. It truly is a death of yourself that we go through in this life. See, you and I, we have to die to ourselves, die to our flesh, die to this world, and then there is a new life experience in that. See, the whole thing with baptism, when we are baptized in the name of Christ Jesus, when we are baptized into Him, what happens is it is an outward showing, an outward display of what God has done in us. So when you and I do that, when we show to the world and to witnesses boldly that indeed we have the old us that was there died. That's when we go down into the waters, symbolizing burial. And the new person who is hid in Christ Jesus, one in Him, merged with Him, no separation between you and the Father. That new creation is what comes up out of the water. It's what you're showing. And that new creation is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the old you is dead, you go down, and the new you, who is a representative of the kingdom, comes up. So that's what it is. It's an outward showcasing of an inner grace of what God has done. It's a declaration that He indeed is Lord. So, you know, there is a way to go through this life, but the way is 100% in Him. And you got to, once you've just gone all in, you ever see those poker players when they play like the World Poker Championships and stuff like that? How they'll come to a point in the game where they say they believe they've got the right hand to win the game, and then they say, okay, I'm all in, and they push all their chips into the middle so that, you know, if they win that hand, they win, that's it, they've got everything in the game. If they lose that hand, they're completely out. Yes, you have to go all in with Jesus. You can't leave anything in reserve, because that is the place of freedom, is to go all in with Him. If you leave something in reserve, the thing you have in reserve is the place where your trust is compromised. And the place where your trust is compromised you will look for, you will look for an easy way when it gets difficult. See, it does get difficult, and that's the thing. Like the enemy of our souls, he knows that. So when you're in the middle of the desert and you're hungry, he's going to show up and say, "Hey, Jesus," as in Luke chapter 4, "why don't you make these stones bread?" He's going to show you something that's going to be a way out. And if you've got some chips in reserve, you're willing to buy it. If you've got something in reserve, if you haven't gone all in with Christ, you're going to be willing to go that way. So, because it gets hard, it gets tough. But the only way through those things is you have to have 100% invested in the kingdom. 100% controlled by the King of Kings. Nothing left. Yes, it is a challenge. Yes, it is a stretching of the soul. Yes, it is a death to self and to everything that you ever were or everything that you ever thought you would be. It has to be put to death on the cross with Christ Jesus. So it's literally the point of everything dying except you don't stop breathing. Because the next breath that you take is Him and you. That's about the way to live through life. And it can be done. Because those that have discovered that mystery of the kingdom, which God has to reveal it to them too. Just like Jesus said, you know, when he talked to Peter, he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to Peter, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." So that's the thing. It's got to be that the Father reveals to you who Christ is and who you can be in Him. But there's still one element in all of this, and that is your will. Your will is essential. If your will is not part of this equation, if your will has not been given over, it's not going to happen, because God won't override your will. You know, He doesn't do that. Because He wants His creation of their free will to choose to be with Him, to choose the path that He has for them. That is His desire. So He offers life, but it's our choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And with that, hey, love you guys. God bless you. Keep on keeping on. Drop us an email. Faithmix@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. All right, hey, talk to you later. God bless you. Bye.